Welcome to the America's Jobs Team podcast. Every week, we dive deep with economic development professionals on leadership and other issues challenging our industry. Our goal is to equip listeners with the knowledge to grow their impact and influence. You are America's Jobs Team, and when you get stronger, communities thrive. Hey, everyone. Welcome to another episode of the America's Jobs Team podcast. I'm Faye Davis, and I'm here today again with the lovely Carla Sounds. And we are going to be talking today about languishing and flourishing. So there's this New York Times article that's been kind of making the rounds around the internet that talks about the feeling that this pandemic really has created in so many people. And it's not really burnout specifically because we still kind of have energy, and it's not really depression because we're not feeling hopeless. But many people are feeling kind of joyless and aimless, Carla. So what's going on?
Yeah. So I really liked this article because I've talked to so many people that are like, I don't know, I feel kind of off, but I can't really put my finger on it. And, you know, when this New York Times article really talked about this feeling of languishing, and I think you nailed it, Faye, you know, they're saying it's the dominant emotion of 2021, especially as, you know, you think about the year of 2020, and there was just a lot that happened in that year for humans to process. And that went from like fear to grief to, you know, like just rapid change, you know. And so they're now saying, you know, experts are now saying the dominant emotion of 2021 is this like languishing. So it really got me thinking about like, well, gosh, like how many people around me or am I in this state of languishing, which is kind of just like this middle place, not really stuck necessarily, but it's not depressed, certainly not flourishing, which is kind of the opposite of that. But it's an indicator that depression could be on its way. And so for people who I've talked to that are just kind of almost saying like they feel blah, like just it to me is like a warning sign. So I figured, you know, if we're talking about it, why not talk about it on the podcast? Because it's real, it's happening. And many of our team members are in a cycle of languishing.
It's so hard. It's funny you say that. I think in the article it mentions too, but I do think of like the Simpsons characters whenever they're like, meh, you know, like yeah. that's like the state of 2021, which it's unfortunate, but you know, one of the best strategies that psychologists talk about is like for yourself to manage your emotions is to name them. So there's power in that, right? You name it, you claim it, and then you aim it. So what can be kind of an antidote to this feeling of languishing?
Yeah. So I think, I mean, when you look at languishing in the article, it talks about that, you know, the opposite of that would be flourishing. And so we've got to get somehow out of, you know, languishing and get pointed back in the direction of flourishing, which leads you to kind of start thinking about, you know, what does that look like? And for a lot of people, it's getting back into, and we've talked about this on a podcast before, but it's really kind of refinding your flow. And that's you kind of being in your own rhythm. And that's what got disrupted in this pandemic, right? Like we feel out of rhythm because we've had to be out of rhythm. There's so many aspects of our social world, our work routines, kids' school routines, how we interact with one another, how we interact with our work, how we interact with families. It was all disrupted. And not only was it disrupted, but it felt like every time you started to get into the next flow and you just started to maybe feel like, okay, here it's coming back. The next wave of disruption happened in some way, shape or form. It was either time to come back to the office or it was, we have to pull back from going back to the office because there's been, you know, a surge of COVID or somebody in our daycare had COVID and now our kids can't go to school or, you know, whatever happened, it just felt like, you know, the whole year felt like you were at the starting line, ready to race, did a warm-up lap and tripped over your shoelaces and then had to kind of start all over again. Right.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Our flow is really disrupted. So we now have to figure out how to get back into the flow. And that is, we've taken for granted probably being in the flow for a while. So we have to now reset our expectations for ourselves. And we talked about internal pressures on a podcast just recently, but we have to go back and now set our own expectations for ourselves in order to get back into the flow. And that means you have to set boundaries. You have to say, I am, my goal is to try to get back into a flow. And so what I need to do is have minimal distractions and in the times that I can control. It's a time to kind of minimize and think about like what's going to help you focus the most on getting back into your flow. And that means like you're going to have to say no to some things and you have to celebrate the small wins. If you make it an hour and you get that project done, you celebrate. You celebrate the time that you're able to kind of stay committed. You celebrate the day that things were on schedule. You celebrate
that.
The week that kids were in daycare and in school and you were able to follow a routine that you at the on Sunday when you planned out the week. If you get to Friday and for the most part everything went according to schedule, you celebrate that. Like that is exciting.
That feels like a really big win, actually. But
it feels like a monumental win. I started 2020.
And that's, you know, when we think about like, if you think about 2020, all of these huge celebrations, like the, you know, marriages, birthdays, anniversaries, everything, everything was put on hold. Everything was celebrated in that like, meh, like, you know, you made it as good as you could, but it was virtual. Like, it's just not the same. And for people to kind of get back into that routine of celebration, it takes doing the smaller wins. Because if you're only going to focus on, okay, now we're good to celebrate the big wins again, you're never really going to get there again. Like you have to start small. It's like baby steps. Like it's like the warm-up celebrations.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I mean, the article, so the New York Times article talked about languishing, right? And then they had a subsequent one that really talked about flourishing. So you have to read both, you know, because they had a follow-up of like, what does flourishing, you know, really look like? And it gave really good, I thought really good examples of, you know, steps, things that you need to think about to get back into this zone of flourishing. And one of them was to really assess yourself. I mean, you do have to know whether you're languishing or you're flourishing or kind of where you're at. And I think there is a, Harvard did a 10 question assessment. We can link, I think Faye, you're planning to link it to the podcast, but
yeah. And I'll link both of the articles too, both the languishing and the flourishing article. So for the listeners that are tuning in right now, just go to jobsteam.us, find the page for this podcast and there will be links to the articles and the assessment.
Yeah. And then it did talk, you know, we were just talking about celebrating those small wins, but one of them that I really, really liked that they gave as an example in the article was kind of you're getting your gratitude back. And I think, you know, when you're in that state of meh, as your Simpsons have said, you kind of approach everything with that sentiment. Like you rise in the morning, meh, about your day. You end the day, meh, about the day. You look at forward to the next day and you're kind of like more meh.
Meh.
You know? Yeah. So the attitude of gratitude is one good step of starting to get yourself out of that. It has been a rocky time, but in those rocky times, people come out of those stronger. So how do you celebrate even the things that were hard during that time that you can move, you know, forward in your leadership, forward in your organization? And how can you just be in that spirit of, I'm going to notice the things that are going well, that aren't really, even though I might feel about this, there's things that are going really well. Most economic developers I've talked to have deal flow that's unheard of coming out of what many people thought was a recession. And so there is huge victory in the fact that we could be in a very worse place economically than we are right now. We could have had to have, this could have been very difficult on budgets. And most economic development organizations are finding their way through it. Most leaders are finding ways to re-engage with their team and come out of this, you know, and those are big reasons to be grateful. And there's also just the everyday small things that only you will know for your own life, you know, based on your own family dynamics, but there's a lot to be thankful for. So how do you get back into that kind of spirit of noticing those? Because that starts to warm you up of, okay, I'm not in this middle place. Like I'm moving back to flourishing. I've got a lot going. I've got a lot left to do. And I've got, you know, all of these great things that are going that I'm going to be grateful for. I'm going to use that spirit to start moving forward.
And it's such an important like springboard into the other things, because once you're recognizing that there is a lot to be grateful for, it gives you more energy. So Carla, there's another few things that they mentioned in the article.
Yeah. So they did talk about a couple other things. Like one of them was, you know, doing good deeds. I mean, here's the deal. This seems so simple, but when you do something for others, you feel good. It makes you feel good. It can be writing thank you cards to people who have impacted your life in the last week. It could be noticing that somebody needs a little extra help on something and saying like, I can take care of that for you. I can take it off your plate. I can, you know, run down and get your, you know, box that's the end of the driveway and bring it up for you. I mean, it's the little things that we can all do that we notice that other people might need help. And being in that spirit of, again, noticing, doing those small good deeds. This is the thing. Our human bodies are amazing. And the hormones and the endorphins and all of the chemical reactions that happen in our body is fascinating to me. But when you do good things for others, it helps you increase your own mood. So if we're trying to get from, you know, languishing to flourishing, what we need to do is start to create those moments in our life where we are like, yes, our body responds chemically to that felt good. So how do we do that in a way that's healthy, right? Well, one easy thing is to do nice things for other people.
And I love that, because honestly, if you're looking at like the broad connection between all of these things to get into a state of flourishing, it's all about connection, right? It's about making connections within yourself, finding purpose within yourself. It's about expressing gratitude to other people. It's about doing nice things for others, but it's all about that community. And it's like recreating that knowledge that I shouldn't say I'm so sick of it, but it's such an overused like cliche at this point, but we really are all in this together. Mm-hmm. Like we're together in this.
Yeah.
And you have to create that sense of like, okay, I might be feeling meh, and that other person might be feeling meh as well, but together we can get ourselves out of it.
Yeah. And I think part of getting yourself out of it is, and we talked about this a little bit, but I want to just touch on it a little bit more. It's trying to find a routine again. Like we kind of talked about it, getting into the flow, but when you go about trying to do this again, you have to start small. Like our world was disrupted. So I have an achiever strength, you know, I'm a big Gallup strength person. An achiever is one of mine. And as a regular old achiever, I have a tendency to know what I can do, right? And so you set the bar for what you know you can do because you've done it before. Now, that was probably now almost 18 months ago. That routine was how Carla has been able to maximize her routine before, including, you know, working out, eating healthy, like all the things. We aren't living in the same world that we lived in 18 months ago. And we got so far out of our routine that you can't get everything back to the highest place of efficiency all at the same time. Mm-hmm. It's just unrealistic. And I'm saying this to others who might be like me, that they, you know, they start out the day and they have these high aspirations of what that routine is going to look like, what all is going to get accomplished that day. And then they kind of are disappointed at the end of the day. That only further gets you back into that spirit of like I'm not on my A game, right? Well, your best game, your A game last year might not be able to replicate that as if you just ran a marathon. You know, when you're marathon runners train for the marathon, right? If you take 18 months off, most people don't get up and just run the marathon at the same time that they did 18 months ago. And so we have to think about that for our routine. You have to do small, like pick something and get back into the habit again and start it small and then build up.
And not just that, but like some things have changed fundamentally. Mm-hmm. Like your routine, and Carl, I feel like you're talking to me because my number one strength is achiever. Like I'm a little bit psycho about it in the best way possible. And like some things are just never going back the way that we were doing them.
No.
So that's really like rediscovering a routine and like how you're going to fit things into your routine And it's challenging, but it's also fun because you get to kind of redefine what your next threshold of excellence is going to look like.
Yeah. Yes. And it's going to be full of things that are like exciting and disappointing. I mean, like you now have to, you can't just walk into your favorite restaurant anymore. Most people, like if it's your favorite restaurant, it likely, because of this, a surge of people going out to restaurants right now, like you might have a little bit of a wait. So we have to change our expectations. We might have to plan a little bit further ahead. You know, you can't, like some things that were open 24 hours aren't open 24 hours anymore because they clean overnight or they don't have the staff that they need to operate at the same. It's just changed. It's fundamentally changed so many things. So you have to just know that you're in that zone. You're in the zone of trying to find your new best A game in a totally different race than you were running before.
Yeah.
And it's going to be great, but you only get there by trial and error, trying new things, setting new habits, and figuring out what's going to work best for you. Mm-hmm. And going back to the old way of doing everything won't get you to the feeling of like you've got control.
100%. Carla, I honestly can't think of a better way to end this podcast. So with that journey from languishing to flourishing, are there any parting words you want to say?
No, just that I really think it's important for economic developers. I mean, we're out there really trying to help businesses be successful, to grow, to help our communities flourish. We've all talked about that. We want to be in prosperous, flourishing communities. We're often the face of that from an economic standpoint. And so we have to figure out how to help our teams move from languishing to flourishing. And that starts with great leadership. So wherever you are in your organization, it doesn't matter whether you're the point leader, you know, that title doesn't matter. You lead through example. And that means that you have to lead in the spirit of, we can do this. We are positioned to do this. We're going to have to make changes, but we need to come with a positive, open attitude about not how the way things were, but how the way things can be. Mm-hmm. And so thinking forward to the future, and we have to be the one that's constantly, when faced with the people who are frustrated, disappointed, anxious about all the change, we have to be the ones to say like, yes, and this is what it can be. And we're going to point ourselves, our energy, our teams, and our attitude in that direction so that we can hopefully help, you know, at least slow. We don't want people to go from languishing to depression. We want people to go from languishing to flourishing. And it takes that positive, things aren't perfect, but we are okay. And we're going to get back to okay. And we have to, that has to be what we keep saying over and over and over and over again. And I mean, it's hard, but we have to be that voice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. If we say it, we'll manifest it.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, thanks everyone for tuning in for another episode. And we will be looking forward to the future episodes together.
Absolutely.
Thanks for sticking with us to the very end. And again, a huge thank you to our sponsors, Research on Investment and Gazelle AI. The America's Jobs Team podcast releases episodes every week that are specifically curated for economic developers like you looking to stay in the know about industry trends, leadership development, career management, growing high-performing organizations, and so much more. So don't forget to subscribe. You can subscribe on Apple Podcasts, iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, Amazon Podcast, or really any other preferred podcast outlet that you use. America's Jobs Team is audio engineered by Joshua Wieters and produced by Faye Davis.